So tonight we're going to begin chapter 9. Chapter 9 has a lot of parts to it. Has anybody ever seen chapter 9 before? Chapter 9 has a lot of parts. Hey, Jay. Look at your family. You guys are so, just so cute. Are you going to take me out to eat this next week? No, I'm fat. That makes me fat. Are you serious? You're a cow, man. Yeah, I blame the Super Bowl too, but had nothing to do with the Super Bowl. Okay, here we go. Chapter 9. I love chapter 9 because it's actually the basic principles. Let me ask you some simple questions only by the raising of hands. Is that fair? So if you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Let's say, how many baptisms are there? I see two, and I see three. I see three. Okay, here we go. How many resurrections are there? I see a four. One. We got three, we got two, and we got four. Okay, we're almost there. How many judgments are there? You got four judgments? Come on, anybody else want to guess on the judgments? We got two, we got three, we got four, we got two, we got two. It's very interesting that many believers don't know elementary school. And so today we want to talk about elementary school. And I want to talk about two types of ignorance. There's two types of ignorance in the kingdom of God. One is called simple ignorance, where you've just never been taught. You are unaware of basic principles. But the other one is called willful ignorance. Willful ignorance is when you have the opportunity to learn and you choose not to learn. Now, I'll be very honest with you. Most Christians actually live in simple ignorance. You'll find that the majority of churches do not teach what we're teaching. Now, I'm not condemning them, but they just don't do it. And the reason we do it is because it's imperative that you know who you are. It's important that you recognize and understand the principles of God's word that will establish you. Now, how many of you went to elementary school? Not everybody. Okay, let's do something here. 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 4 plus 4, 10 plus 10, 32 divided by 8. Some of you had, I saw your eyes like roll back in your head. Okay. 8 times 8, 1,622 times 3. If Jay was paying attention, he'd have whipped off that number, I'm telling you right now. Yeah, he's a numbers guy. So here we are, you know, there's a need. How many of you learned A, B, C? Some of you questioned that. I was, you know, it's not good. A, B, C, E, F, H, I had to think about it myself. So. Division, multiplication, reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's called elementary, my dear. And so tonight we want to talk about elementary school because you need to know what you believe. Now, a lot of people call themselves mature Christians. And I just want to, we're going to get into that in a little bit. Excuse me. I just had half of my granddaughter's jelly beans. Don't tell her. I got to go buy another package. But what you'll find is that most believers are not mature Christians. Most believers don't know what they believe. So if you don't know what you believe, you can't be mature. There's no way for you to go to high school unless you understand the basic principles of elementary school. And this is where many believers are. So we want to make sure that you're established. So the issue with this is, as a child, and I love my mother, and I went to Sunday school, but the fact was is I grew up in a church that did not teach any of these principles. In fact, when I got to Bible school, I learned things that really startled me, like the wise men were not at the birth of Christ. How many of you didn't know that? Santa Claus isn't real. Are you okay? The Easter Bunny was a great guy. No. I was actually taught some things that were like way out there. And I had no understanding until I went to Bible school and finally learned basic principles. Most churches didn't preach or teach. They only preach to you. And mainly what happened in most churches is they'll stand up and they'll do a Sunday school. They'll go through a book in the Bible. And man, that's awesome. Going through a book in the Bible is awesome. But if you don't have the biblical foundation, then you cannot grow up. You can't go to secondary school. You can't go to high school. You can't go to college. You can't go to graduate school unless you know 1 plus 1 is, 2 plus 2 is, 10 times 10 is, 10 minus 5 is. See, you're so good at this. But, you know, you can say that with confidence, right? There are how many resurrections? There are, see, this is what I'm saying, is that many of us who've been in the church all these years, we still don't know elementary school. So we've got to make sure that you're established. And that's what the chapter 9 is all about making sure that you're established. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 26 says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man." Turn to someone and say, "You are so smart." "Who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears the words of the sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So building your spiritual house is not an accident, cannot be an accident. You have got to know what you believe. 1 plus 1 is, 2 times 2 is, 6 times 6 is. I just say them, you know them. Right? How many baptisms are there? Did y'all just see that, what you just did? You let somebody else answer for you because you just weren't sure. How many of you did that in elementary school? I sat next to the smart people. All of this to where you have to come to understand what you believe. So I want to go right here to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I'd like you to memorize this by next week in 3 different versions. And there'll be an exam on it, so make sure you come ready to fill out a piece of paper. Is that all right? It's a $100 fine for each one that you get wrong, and just trying to raise money for the kingdom. You know what I mean? Here we go. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection." The word perfection there actually means to grow up. Turn to somebody and say, "Will you grow up?" You didn't have to be nasty about it. You didn't have to be nasty. Just say, you know, you need to grow up. Be nice. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." So this scripture right here is actually teaching us the basic principles that we have to know for the elementary basics of Christianity. Now, I really have a fun time with this. I'll meet a new pastor and I'll ask him how many resurrections are there. And you know what? Many of them guys don't know. My sister's pastor up in Northern Maine one time was teaching on the judgments. And the pastor was teaching incorrectly. And my sister raised, because she went through Rock Solid Faith. My sister raised her hand and said, "Pastor, that's not right." And he got really mad at her. Like he was going to kick them out of church. So he went back and did some research and found that he was incorrect. The problem is this, is that if you don't know these, you can't graduate. You can't go to further directions in the things of God. So you've got to know these principles. Now the Bible says very clearly in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." So this is what it's saying. Many, many believers should be well mature. I'm talking like, you know, it's almost like as pastors, we... not as much in this church, to be honest with you. But in many denominational pastors, you have to push back the whiskers to put in the pacifier. Or you have to wipe the very hairy hiney. Because honestly, they're supposed to be mature. They've got 20 years in the kingdom, and they don't know the basics. So they don't. If you don't know the basics, then how can you build on your faith? Like Jesus said, if you build your house upon the rock, who's the rock? Jesus is the rock that rolls your blues away. That's the song. So he's the rock that you build your relationship on. That's the word of God. So you've got to know these basic principles. So this is what it says. Some of you should already be teaching, but you got to go back and be taught the very first principles in the beginning. So this is what this class is. Please be wise and learn. We need you. God needs you to grow up, so that you'll be powerful in God's kingdom, so that you will know how to add. 1 + 1 is? 10 × 10 is? 5 - 5 is? No problem, right? How many resurrections are there? See? All of them, thank you. That's a very good answer. You've got to know the principles. So here we go. It goes on to say, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the Bible says there are many that are unskilled. Now, we've met different people that are unskilled. We have met people that honestly teach such horrible doctrine because they have themselves never learned. This is why the church you go to has a direct impact on your destiny. Direct. That's why this is not a joke. This is not about you and I coming and singing Kumbaya together. It's about you and I really being connected to a church that's going to propel you, first of all, with the knowledge of the basic principles of the gospel, but then propel you into ministry to fulfill your destiny and your purpose on this planet. I have met many pastors, and this is something that's extremely important. You know, statistically, 30% of the church leaves every single year. I don't know if you know that or not. Statistically, a church will lose about 30% of their church, so if you're not growing by 30%, you're on the decline. What you'll find is that many people now are heading to churches that we would call seeker-sensitive. They go to a seeker-sensitive, you know what a seeker-sensitive church is? Yes or no? How many of you don't know what that means? How many of you don't know what that means? What a seeker-sensitive church is a church that does not teach the solid doctrine, the basic principles that you're going to learn in this chapter. But they just want you to come and be happy. They want you to come, and they're not going to preach a message that is overwhelmingly convicting. They might teach you some good principles, but they're never going to mature you. And it's important that if you are going to leave here, there are certain basics you want to make sure that you have in order with the church you're going to go to. And that is that, number one, they're teaching these basic principles. If they are not teaching these basic principles, many churches have what they call a believer's class. It goes for 4 weeks. Listen, you can't teach the principles in 4 weeks. You can't. It's not possible. And if they're not teaching these principles, the one thing that you need to make sure is if you are going to go to another church, you need to ask the pastor what his education is. If the pastor isn't educated, then how can he educate you? Well, I've been born again for 432 years. Did you go to Bible school? No, I'm learning by the Holy Ghost. Well, I just sit there and the Spirit of God just downloads it into my heart. Hallelujah. I'm led by the Spirit of God. And that's how I'm learning in the ministry. Well, you know, that's great, but that's why we got so many screwed up churches. Because they don't even know why they believe what they believe. Because the pastors don't even know what they believe. And so it's important that you establish that. This is elementary, my dear. Elementary. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles. It's important that you learn to leave the elementary principles of the Word of God. That you cannot remain in the spiritual immaturity that you are or where you are right now. Now, I'm going to bring us a little bit further in the chapter. You're going to be able to identify whether you're a babe in Christ, whether you're an adolescent in Christ, or whether you're a mature Christian. So there's actually a way to determine who you are in Christ. And you need to determine that. Why? Well, because each one of us need to make sure that we're growing beyond where we are right now. You should not be in the same spiritual condition knowledge-wise and also capability-wise this year, at the end of this year that you started with. Every one of us must grow. And the principle is, if you're not growing, what does that mean? That you're going backwards. There is no neutral in the kingdom. Everybody knows that, right? There's no neutral in the kingdom. You're either going forwards or you're going backwards. And so we've got to make a determination in our own heart that I'm going to grow up in Christ. So growing up is important. If you have a 27-year-old man who does not have mental deficiency, living in your house, eating your food, using your toilet paper, he can't spell, he can't read. And his whole excuse is, well, you know, I just like being taken care of. How many of you know that might be an issue? It's an issue because that's just not right. There's something wrong with that. When a man's 27 years old, he should be mature enough to be able to handle his own household. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, living with mommy and daddy, you know, isn't really and should not be the answer at 27 years old. You know, you got to grow up. You got to be mature. You got to develop. And, you know, we all have struggles in life, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a person struggling. I'm not talking about a person getting back on top. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that this is their lifestyle. When I was in my last church, I had a man. He called himself the prophet. I didn't know that. When he came and he actually behaved himself. It was really good. He behaved himself for an entire year. I got a phone call from his prior pastor and said, you need to watch out for him. I said, he's been good, man. He's a nice guy. He's 40, 45 years old and lives with mom and dad and doesn't work. And so one day I'm talking to his dad and he says, man, I've been trying to get this kid out for 40 years. He says, he sits in my chair. He eats all my groceries. He has a better relationship with his mother than I have. And I said, that's just spooky. And I said, you know, he says, yeah, you know, and he's mad at me all the time. And I said, why? He says, because I tell him to get out of my chair. So one night, man, we had a prayer meeting. And this is the first time we actually saw him do a little nutty stuff. And he walked over to his father. And he said, may I pray for my father? And I said, sure. I mean, he behaved himself, you know, for a whole year. And so he slapped. Pow! His father buckled. And there was no Holy Ghost in this at all. I'm talking like, this poor guy, I know he dented his dad's head. I'm telling you. And I felt so bad. He just hated his dad because his dad was trying to kick him out of the house. We all know that's not good, right? We know that, right? That's just not good. So here we are. We have a lot of people that are 27 years in the kingdom that still need somebody to give them a bottle. That still rely on the pastor for everything. That still get offended over the most stupid, foolish things. And they're that way because they're immature. Maturity is growing up, not just in knowledge, but in skill. God wants to take your knowledge and work skill with it. That's called wisdom. The word wisdom is the ability to know how to use knowledge correctly. So God wants to grow us up in Christ. Let us go on to perfection, which simply means this. That's growing up. Every one of us should be more mature. Now, I want you to answer yourself an honest question. Where you were at the beginning of 2017, are you more mature in Christ Are you more mature in Christ now than you were at the beginning of 2017? So 365 days, roll it back. Are you more mature? Are you doing more for God? Are you accelerated or are you are you slowing down or going backwards? Don't answer out loud. Answer yourself. Because we have to ask ourselves this. If we're going to go on to maturity, maturity is that we've got to grow up. We've got to grow up. And if we're not going to grow up, then we're building an entire church of babies. Well, babies should not reproduce. Here we go. So perfection, that means maturity. There's three stages in the kingdom of the saints. Number one is babyhood. This is a person who's newly saved, has come out of the world. You know them as they're dropping the F-bomb and praising Jesus at the same time. You know, they just got saved, and I've told the story 100 times, but I just love the story. He was a cowboy guy and got saved. He worked at the salt mines in Ithaca and was on the he loved doing rodeo. So he came into church with this big old 10-gallon hat and what do they call those, an Australian jacket. And after service, after he got saved, he brought me back and he said, "Hey, you want to see my effing coat?" And I said, "Sure." Well, I couldn't say to him, "Man, you can't cuss." I mean, literally, he just got saved 5 minutes ago. You know, this is part of who he was, and God's going to get it out of him. You know, and then I told you the story about him going to the bar the next week. He got filled with the Holy Ghost on a Sunday night. And he went that week, he lived his life, and he went to the bar but didn't drink, man. That was big for him. That was monstrous. He didn't drink any alcohol. He sat there with a ginger ale, and somebody came up to him and started mouthing off to him, and he looked at him, and instead of cussing him out, he started speaking in other tongues. Just immaturity. So somebody who's newly saved, they're not going to be perfect. You know what? What happens to a lot of older Christians is they want everybody to be perfect the day after they get saved. What I love about the Lord is that he will work on the most important things in your life, which means you're going to feel conviction. So let's just say you drink, you smoke, and you toke, and you screw around. So he's going to start hitting those things. That's not right. Don't do that anymore. Stop this. And he'll go through them. But each one's on a different phase and different stage. And that's the exciting part. That's where you and I support the babies. Amen? We've got the baby over there. The baby's being supported by Jay. Right? Babies, where did she go? Where did she go? There was another baby here a second ago. Oh, she changed him. You got to change the babies. Amen? You don't want to change a baby when they're 27 years old. No. You want to change a baby when they're a baby. You cannot expect a new baby to survive without being fed. Do you guys feed crew? You got them on a diet with daddy? So you just look at crew and you say, "Hey man, whatever's in the cupboard's yours." Right? Yeah, it works, doesn't it? I mean, he gets right up, walks right over, busts into the fridge and pulls out a prime rib and starts chewing on the beast. Come on, we know that's crazy. It don't work. You know, the baby's breastfed or the baby's bottle fed and their poop is green and then it's dark, dark, black, nasty. I didn't even change a diaper. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just not for me. So as a baby, if you're a baby in Christ, this is normal for you. You need to be taken care of. What happens to a lot of churches is somebody gets saved and then they abandon the baby. We don't do that here. I thank God in this house we've got a whole team that does just salvations. And so when somebody gets saved, that's when you start to nurture them. That's when you start to speak into their life. That's when you got to, you know, maybe you got to go pull them out of the bar. You know, this is all a part of growing up a baby. The next phase is this. It's called adolescence. These are those Christians who have been learning and have gotten the basics, but are still battling with the issues of not being a baby all the time. I remember we were raising one of these young ladies. My wife and I were raising a young lady, and I'm not talking cringe. She was an adopted little daughter. And I said, "You're getting a job. You're 17 years old. You're getting a job. You're going to pay for your own clothes." She goes, "No, I'm not." She says, "I don't want to grow up." I said, "What?" She says, I'm not getting a job. I took her over to Meniere's to get a job. Now listen, you got to know that that is a solid job because my kids all work there. They love my kids. So if I brought her in there, they said, "Listen, she's got the job. We just got to do the quick little interview and get her thing." So we brought her in and she submarined that job. I watched her. She submarined the interview on purpose. I about ripped her throat out when we got to the vehicle. And I said, what are you doing? You got to work. She says, I am not going to work. You are going to take care of me. I remember one person telling me, well, I'm going on welfare. And I said, do you know where welfare money comes from? She says, the government. I said, wait till you get your first job. And I remember she got her first job, got her first paycheck, and she came yelling. And she said, what is wrong with the government taking all of our money? I said, you want to go on welfare. Where do you think the money came from? See, an adolescent struggles with not wanting to grow up. Here's the key. If you find a baby in Christ, get them to pray for things for you. Because daddy answers their prayers really fast. So whenever I find a new believer, I'll give them my prayer requests. And they get answered quicker by the babies. Because God always spoils the babies. But then, as you know, you got to grow up. Then you got to have chores. How many of you gave your kids chores? I was really sad when my children left the house. I had to do their chores. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I hated the wood stove because I had to do wood then. My wife would nag me for a week to get the garbage out because the kids used to do that stuff. They had chores. Why? Because when they're an adolescent, you're teaching them responsibility. They're not getting everything they want at the exact same time. They don't get anything they want when they want it, how they want it. A baby does. A baby cries. What happens? Feed it. Baby poops. What happens? Crew. If you poop, what happens to you? Oh, you're smart, Jay. He was just watching me, so that's why I had to talk to him. It's normal for a baby to be dependent, but when they're in adolescence coming in, when you're starting to grow up in Christ, then honestly, you learn how to rely more on Christ than you do on everybody else. They're learning how to live on faith. They're learning to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, it's very powerful to know these things. They're talking about the basic principles and learning how to apply them to their life. So you're learning authority in the name of Jesus. You're learning how powerful and how to apply the word every day. You're learning that, listen, they're not going to feed you. You're going to have to open the Bible yourself and get something out of it. Amen? You're going to have to learn how to pray in adolescence. You're going to have to learn how to grow up in Christ. And you have to learn how to have a job. You ever seen a spoiled child? No job. What ends up happening to those kids, man? They struggle the rest of their lives because you don't teach them responsibility. Do you want to know why I push you so badly in this church to do something in the house of God? Because if I don't do that, then we're raising only spoiled children in the kingdom. You got to have a job. You got to do something. Why do you got to do something? Because you learn responsibility. You learn responsibility not just in the house on this earth, but you learn responsibility in the kingdom of God. You got to work. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. No, I didn't say don't be a slug. I said you got to draw it out. Slug. Don't be a slug. And this is what happens where in most churches, why people remain babies is not only they're not being taught the principles, but when they should be adolescents and starting to get chores, they have no chores. So really, if you talk to most pastors, and I talk to many of them, you have 10% of the people doing 90% of the work in the church. Well, that's not going to happen in this house. You're all expected to be doing something for the kingdom of God. You're all expected to do something for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen? You're all expected by the time Rock Solid Faith is over, step one is over, you're doing some level of ministry. Whether it's the parking lot, whether it's cleaning a toilet, whether it's straightening chairs, whether it's a worship team, no matter whether it's kids ministry, I don't care what level of ministry you do. I mean, I watched a whole group of people this morning. They were out there doing the clothing thing. And they brought it in, they brought it out. And then I watched as the pastors, we had the pastors meeting today, and the hospitality team were over here, and they made an amazing meal for all the pastors that came in, pastors and leaders that came in. They had chicken, and they had potatoes, and salad, and cookies, and I ate your cookies. And it was a great, great meal. But that took people that were going to do the work of the ministry. The Bible says if you get a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. So those folks that today were over there and doing the work of the ministry by feeding all of these pastors and leaders, they're getting the rewards of the pastors and leaders. That's what you get by growing. It's called allowance. Amen. Some adults don't even get allowances. The Bible says that you have been given motivational gifts. You learn how to use them in that level of adolescence. And then we have what's called maturity. I'll be very, very honest with you. I find very few true mature Christians. Few. It's few. Mature Christians, you can actually scripturally easily dial in on whether somebody's mature or not mature. This is a person who's laid down all the basics. You ask them how many judgments there are, and they're not guessing. Amen. You ask them how many resurrections there are, and they're not guessing. You ask them about the laying on of hands, and they're not going, well, I washed. They know what it means. You talk about the anointing that is released through the laying on of hands. They've learned through adolescence how to release the anointing, how to release the energy, the power of heaven from their spirit to touch somebody, to get them healed, to get them delivered, to be moving in the power of heaven. So a mature person is one who's taken the principles and has actually worked them and now knows how to develop them. Listen, somebody is a mature individual when they no longer have to sucker off of mother or sucker off their mother and dad during their adolescence. Now they're mature and they're out there living their life. They've got a job. They've got an apartment. They maybe have a family. They've got life in order. That is the levels of maturity. This is where the body of Christ has failed. We have a lot of people that are not mature in Christ. Now, I want to say this right out loud. It doesn't matter how many years you've been born again, does not mean you're mature. I've known people that are 3 or 4 years old in the Lord that have been more mature than people that have been saved for 50 years. I'm not even exaggerating. I knew a man up in my last church. He'd been born again twice the amount of years that I had been alive. And a man got saved and in 3 years was more mature than he was in the Spirit. So years being saved doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean you're mature. What means you're mature is you've chosen to buckle down and to learn, to grow, and how to use the principles that God has placed within your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and he will settle you. A mature person reproduces and trains others in the place of maturity and understanding. This is big. If you are not reproducing, then you are probably not mature. So here's the question. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many people did you lead to the Lord in 2017? Don't say it out loud. Just answer to yourself. If you went 365 days and you didn't lead one person to Christ, you are not a mature Christian. How is that possible? Because the responsibility of maturity is reproducing. There must be reproduction. This is why the church has declined rather than increased. And I'm not talking this church, I'm talking the church at large. The church at large has decreased because the body of Christ, as mature adults, we have forgotten why we're here. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That was the call of God, not only in the flesh, but it also talks about spirit. Our job in maturity is to reproduce. That means people get saved. You're leading people to the Lord, not here in the building, but outside. Your friends, your relatives, your people that you hate, the people you don't even know. You know, leading people to Christ is a major part of identifying a mature Christian. So if a person's not leading anybody to Jesus, well, they're not mature. They might have all the age, they might have the thought that they are, but the proof is not in the pudding. How many of you know proof is in the pudding? Amen? Another way to determine a spiritually mature person is found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Another identification of a person that is mature is that they are not just sitting back living their own life. They are watching people and they're protecting people. They're protecting the body of Christ. So if somebody starts falling away, they don't go, oh, that's just so sad. They walked away from the Lord. No. A mature Christian says, let's go get them. Let's go get them. Listen, let's get them out of condemnation. Let's get them into forgiveness. Let's get them into healing. Let's get them into restoration. One of the things I love about Tommy Barnett, how many of you know who Tommy Barnett is? He came and spoke here a few times. I think he's 81 or 82 years old this year. He pastored a church of 19,000 people in Phoenix, Arizona. One of the things I love about Tommy Barnett is his reputation and integrity is so strong. He's the one that's been restoring all these fallen TV evangelists. So he goes to them. He brings them into accountability and he starts the restoration process so that they can be healed up as men and as women and in families and so on and so forth. I was actually at the service when Jimmy Baker had gotten out of prison. And Jimmy Baker and his son were separated. Jimmy Baker's son actually went deep into sin because of how embarrassed he was about what his parents did. And I was actually able and blessed to be in Tommy Barnett's church when Junior came back in, gave his heart to the Lord, and was reconciled to his dad. I mean, there were 8,000 people there just bawling like babies. It was absolutely beautiful. Spiritually mature people are restorers. They're out there getting people back that have fallen away. Not just getting people saved, but going after them to restore them. It's time for the body of Christ to grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Oh, I feel a miracle coming on tonight. It says this, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 15. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the same degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be as of the same mind. So being of the same mind of Christ, growing up in Jesus, is very important. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says this, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Simple offenses are childish things. Living in sin, living the same sins you've been living for 20 years, that's childish. Is it time to grow up? A time to purge? You know what's amazing is how many 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds that I have found in this church that are still smoking weed. What is up, man? Well, I'm just trying to relax, you know. Listen. That's childish. It's just childish. Yeah, it's like, come on, you don't tithe, but you'll buy weed. Yeah. It's childish, man. It's just childish. Yeah, so many people are doing childish things, you know. We should be mature, grow up. And you know, I don't know about you, but I was a little wild in Bible school, and I would always hear, grow up, Spencer. You just need to grow up. And I wanted to punch him in the head. You know, don't tell me to grow up. But I really needed to grow up. And, you know, growing up doesn't mean you stop having fun. Growing up doesn't mean you change your personality. Growing up doesn't mean that you're not still funny and that people love to be around you. Growing up just means you don't do dumb things anymore. You've learned hitting your finger with a hammer is bad. You know, duh. And so, you know, growing up is so important. And we need to grow up. And I don't know where you are, whether you're a baby in Christ or an adolescent in Christ, or you're a mature Christian in Christ. I'm not sure where you are. That's between you and Jesus. I'm not going to judge that. Nobody knows another man's heart. You know, that's what I love so much about being the pastor. You know, a lot of pastors will tell you, you know, I know your heart. I don't know your heart. I don't know. The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it but God? You know, the fact is that all I'm going to try to do is push you to grow up. That's what I love to do. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Bring them to unity and bring them to maturity. I want to push you. Grow up. You're going to find that the more you grow up in Christ, the more satisfied you become. The more you grow up in Christ, the more crowns you gain. The more you grow up in Christ, the more you walk by faith and not by sight. The more you grow up in Christ, the more you're a soul winner. You are snatching people from Satan's lair and saying, glory to God in the highest. Man, that person's now alive and not dead. Our life has great purpose the moment we mature. And we make less mistakes. How many of you caused your own trouble? Honestly, most of us, the trouble we got in when we were teenagers or even young adults or in the 50s, you know, most of the trouble you caused yourself because you didn't get rid of the childish stuff. And in the spirit, it's the same thing. Get rid of that childish stuff, man. It's time to grow up. Identification. Here we go. It's important that you identify where you are in your spiritual growth chart. If you're a baby, and you are like a baby. I mean, you're literally a babe in Christ. What's that age of a babe in Christ? Usually between 1 and 5 years. You know, because we all grow at a different pace. You know, I've seen people like in 3 years really just become mature. Most people aren't that. Pastor Banfield is a phenomenal example. He was a beast. Pastor Banfield got saved here, I don't know, I think he was in his 50s, gave his heart to the Lord, and he had not served God at all. And when he got saved, he took every class we had. I'm talking there was not a class that he did not take. He took every class. Then there was no more classes. He used every class we had at this church was he was in and done. So he joined the Bible school. He went through 3 years of Bible school, earned his biblical degree. Then he's right in ministry. You'll find that he's constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly developing. Well, why is he that? Because he's mature. You know, your most fruitful years in life in the business world is the decade is the 60s, then it's the 50s, then it's the 70s. Those are the most productive decades of your life. Why? Because you're mature enough not to have to make the same dumb mistakes you did when you were in your 40s. Listen, every 20-year-old thinks they know their life. I remember when someone said to me, they said, yo, you know, you're not even 30 yet. And I just want, yo, don't be a jerk. I know what my life is. I got this thing in control. Then you hit your 40s and realize, boy, you were stupid in your 20s. Then you get to 50s and go, duh. Well, you did what? And you just realize the older you get, the less mistakes you make. So if you're a baby in Christ, that's awesome. And you're in a great place. You're in rock solid faith. You're in elementary, my dear. And you're in the right place. If you're an adolescent, man, this is exciting because now you're starting to get through the clumsy stage. You know what I mean? You're starting to get control of those sins that so easily beset you. And you're starting to put your hand to the plow and do some chores in the house. And, you know, this is a big part where you're starting to really develop in who you are in Christ and get your gifts out there, you know? It's exciting. I love watching adolescents. They're mouthy people, by the way. But I mean, as a pastor, you got to spank them a little bit more. But at the same time, I love watching them grow up. But, you know, if you're mature, in the house. You should be producing. Produce, teach, establish, restore, and strengthen. That is the identification of a mature believer. You produce, you teach, you establish, you restore, and you strengthen. That is the true identification of a mature believer. It doesn't mean you're going to be preaching behind the pulpit. You might be one-on-one discipleship, but you're going to be teaching somebody. You're going to be reproducing. You're going to be restoring. You're going to be strengthening. You're going to grab one of those babies that's or adolescents that's running around chasing their tail. You're going to slap them in the head and say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Come on, let's go. Wake up. All of this, you need to identify where your spiritual status is. So I want to ask you a question. I want you to write this down. You need to ask yourself an Oscar. Don't answer out loud. I don't want to know your answers. Am I a baby in Christ? If you are a baby in Christ, then you need to continue and be fervent. How many of you ever got truancy? You two work together, right? How many of you skipped school? You skipped school, Grandpa Al? Wow. You skipped school? I did not skip school. I emancipated myself in the senior year of high school, so I got to write myself notes. Please excuse Michael Spencer from school, signed Michael Spencer. It was awesome. I went and hung out with my sister's boyfriend. My question to you is this. Are you a baby? Are you an adolescent? Or are you mature? If you're an adolescent, you need to learn. It's not a free ride. Amen. I was hoping for at least one without the prompting. If you're an adolescent, you absolutely need a chore. You need to learn that spiritual welfare is not an option. We all got to do something. Amen? When a body moves together, it accomplishes. If your hand's not working, listen, man, I learned when I broke, I think it was my right hand. I'm right hand dominant. You learn that you can't write. And that it really is very difficult going to the toilet. Yeah, it's really rough. You know, you have good intentions to clean yourself correctly. And it's just a challenge. Yeah, oh. All of this is, when the right hand isn't working, it affects the rest of the body. If you're an adolescent, get a job. Well, I don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness. Ask me. We'll get it done. We'll get you busy. Well, I don't want to be seen. Great. I need all of these chairs cleaned in this entire congregation. Next week, we're going to start renovation down at the Ithaca location. Adolescents, you can do some demolition. We're taking down walls. Have fun. Awesome.
He's at home sick right now.
A lot of sick people. Tell him not to puke.
So. He's not, like
lung thing? Is he hacking up like big chunks?
Yeah.
Are they green?
Yeah, okay.
You got to chew them before you swallow them. It's the rules. Yeah. Okay. So if you're an adolescent, you must get busy. If you are an adult and you're not doing anything, the welfare system is not here. You can go to another place for the welfare system. Did I just ask people to leave the church? I did. Honestly, I'm just not into games, right? You know, because Jesus is coming. It's just not a game time, you know what I mean? It was a great game on Sunday. The Patriots lost. Better attitude now. You need a better attitude. But the truth is that to them, that really wasn't a game either. Because how much money would they have won if they had gotten a ring, gotten the money, gotten the fame, gotten a raise? Listen, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Get busy. It's time to grow up. And by the way, when you do get busy, you end up taking ownership. It becomes part of who you are. If the next door neighbor's bank gets robbed, you could care less. But if your bank gets robbed, even though it's FDIC, you're going to say, excuse me, am I good? Because you don't want your bank where you are investing to be robbed. When you have no investment in the house of God, you're not depositing. You're just visiting. Yeah, can you imagine walking into the Chemung Canal? You don't deposit there. You don't bank there, but you walk into Chemung Canal. Ready? And you just go like this. I love this bank. Can I help you, sir? Oh, no, I'm good. This is the best bank. Sir, is there anything we can do for you? No, I'm good. This is my favorite bank, by the way. Sir, do you have an account? Well, no, I just like standing here. There's no interest. You know, so if you're an adolescent, get busy. If you're a mature Christian, you should already be busy, or please don't call yourself mature. Is that fair? Amen. Questions? Don't look at the time because you will see a miracle and not even on 34th Street.